Deya Dada Matapa Kunya Bihadi Samadhava Kunya Bihadi Dada Matapa Kunya Bihadi Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhadi Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhadi Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Deya Dada Madhava Kunya Bihadi Deya Dada Madhava Kunya Bihadi Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 krishna hare krishna hare krishna. Yesterday we float on the river of this wonderful Kapanya Panjika prayer to verse 27, where we find Rupa Goswami with folded palms placed on his hand in a very desirous mood. He wants, he desires, he's eager, he's anxious for his deepest confidential desires to be fulfilled. What he wishes to have in particular is expressed in verses 28 to verses 33. I made a mistake. I have included verse 33 in the next session, but it belongs to the session which we will now pray. He wants the divine darshan. If after many, many births and deaths, the conditioned soul can again meet the divine couple, that's the fulfillment of his desire. My Lord, the devotee says, I have left you, now I want to be again with you. So, I thought we will do it like this. We will pray these verses like we have always done. But I will warn you already, this will be a very, very spiritual session. It will be something for very... please don't come after this to me and say, I can't relate to this. You have to relate to it, because this is why you came to Vrindavan. We want to become devotees of Radha and Krishna. That's our goal. Very beautiful verses. Amalovang Parimala Kada Parimalang Vane Anargena Pramodena Granang Megunayashyati Ranyayashyati Kano Me. Once again, we are in verse 29, please. Ranyayishyatika no me Hangsagunjita ganjanam Manjulankin nu yuvayo Manjira kalasinjitam. Sobhagagyankara tangadi Lakshitani padani vang Kada brindavane pashyan Unmadishyat yajam janaha Sarva sondarya mayada Niratya paranirajo Kim apurvani parvani Hamamakshno vidashyata Suchira shapala boga Padamboja vilokano yuvam sa chach janasyasya bhavedam yakim bhave kada vrindata vikunya kandare sundaro dayo kelanto vang vilokishye surato nati durata. God Hari, maybe we can play a little inspiring music. It's very, very interesting now how Srila Rupa Goswami obtains in his heart the direct darshan, the sakshat darshan. It's very interesting that it will be a full sensual experience, and the first sense which will be overwhelmed with the sweetness of the Lord will be the nose, huh? Yes. When coming through the forest, will your splendid fragrance overwhelm my nose with immeasurable happiness? The next, he has not yet seen Radha and Krishna, but the divine splendid fragrance announces their arrival. There's another herald now which announces the arrival of the divine couple. It's the tinkling of their anklets, which Rupa Goswami perceives with his ears. When will the musical tinkling of your anklets, which excels the cooing of the swans in sweetness, delight my ears? Still, Rupa Goswami has not seen the divine couple. In the next verse, he will also not see them directly, but he will see their footprints in the forest. When, seeing in Vrindavan's forest your footprints, bearing a chariot wheel and other auspicious signs, will this person become mad with joy? Now the footprints are there, and where the footprints are, the feet will not be far away. So the next two verses are about the festival of beholding the feet of the divine couple. Very, very systematic, this meditation. It will start from the fragrance and continues to the tinkling of the anchor bells. Sometimes the devotee, great devotees report they hear the rustling of the garments in the wind. Now the feet. O king and queen, whose lotus feet are the worshipable ultimate limit of all beauty, will you place these unprecedented joyful festivals before my eyes? And then, continuing with the same desire to see the lotus feet, O lords, O Lord and Mistress, the sight of whose lotus feet I have for a long time yearned to see, will this person be able to see you directly in this birth? And finally, O splendid king and queen, when will I see you enjoying amorous pastimes nearby in the groves and caves of Vrindavan's forest? So here we hear the intense hankering of Srila Jiva Srila Rupa Goswami for the divine darshan of the divine couple. It is highly fascinating how Rupa Goswami perceives Lord Krishna in a progressive revelation. First, he smells his wonderful fragrance. I do remember living at Govardhan and taking a bicycle ride every day to one of the particular places of surrounding Giriraj, and while riding on a bicycle one fine morning, I was almost shaken down from the bicycle, not by a monkey, but by a fragrance which waved from Giriraj Govardhan in our direction. And still, I, to this day, I don't know what this fragrance was. It was from where it came. It was extremely unearthly and special. See, when the Lord is perceived, he will be perceived first by some heralds. Is this a right English word? Heralds. Heralds are announcing the arrival of a king. Boom, 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 boom. And then, oops, everyone comes together. Ooh, something is happening. And then he says, I am the herald of His Majesty Louis the Fifth, and I want to read to you that you have to increase the payment of your taxes, my dear town. If you don't do so, the army of the king will come and flatten your houses to the earth ground. This is a meaning of a herald who forbears bad news. Sometimes there are good news also. But here we see that the fragrance comes first. There is a description about Krishna's and Radha's fragrance which come to the come into the perception. Here's one from Govinda Lilamrita. The forests suddenly filled with Murari's enticing bodily fragrance, which rivals the scent of a blue lotus mixed with musk. Also today in the morning reading, we heard how Krishna left, but his fragrance didn't leave. So Rukmini was aware, oh, Krishna was just here. I can still perceive his divine fragrance. There's also a description about Radhika's beautiful bodily fragrance. It derides the scent of a lotus smeared with saffron. And suddenly it came into the nearby forest like the ambrosial waves of the Ganga. Now the next thing which Rupa Goswami wishes to hear is the tremendous tinkling of the divine couple's anklets, or sometimes the devotee prays, may I hear the flute, or Shrimati Radharani's veena, or the rustling of the wind in their garments. And then, finally, he sees the footprints of the divine couple, which are bearing various auspicious markings in them. Just imagine you are searching for someone very desperately after you have traveled through 8,400,000 villages. You have still remained a beggar. The living entity also has traveled through 8,400,000 bodily forms, but still he is a beggar of true love, and he knows now the divine couple's footprint, they are everything for him. The divine couple is everything for him. And now he comes in the forest of Vrindavan and sees the footprint of Radha and Krishna. He feels, very soon I will see Radha and Krishna. I remember a little while ago I was preaching in Fuerteventura. Do you know where Fuerteventura is? It's an island in the Atlantic Ocean. It's the Canarian Islands. And it was very, very, very interesting for me to take a hike up one of these mountains with a guide. And the guide said, there's something which we cannot explain. From very ancient times, there are footprints on this mountain engraved with some tool. And I said, can I see the footprints, please? And when the guide brought me to, there were four sets of feet to them, I was overwhelmed with the remembrance of Radha and Krishna in the Atlantic Ocean. It seems that the black people of Africa had sometimes visited this, and that the original African tribes did have knowledge of Radha and Krishna, because the footprints which were on this mountain in Fuerteventura had the markings of the chakra and the lotus. Amazing, isn't it? I was very, very amazed. We were on this mountain without any permission, because we had heard about the footprint and we did not care for permissions. And our guide was able to show us. And it's very interesting the directions in which these footprints pointed were the directions in which India was lying. Maybe Radha and now we can speculate as much as we want. Maybe you want to do this today. We can gossip a little bit about this, you know, and bring up wild theories, you know. But this is what I saw. This is what the guide explained, and I have pictures of it. It's amazing how the culture of Radha and Krishna was maybe there amongst the African people. We have one person of African origins. Maybe, do you know anything about these footprints in Fuerteventura? Not at this moment. Wonderful, wonderful. It was really heart-touching to see this, I must say. So when, imagine, even an ordinary person like me becomes totally in ecstasy, and I was dancing on that mountain and almost falling from the mountain with happiness. Imagine Rupa Goswami beholding in the forest of Vrindavan the footprints of the divine couple. Wow! Soon they are there. Soon they are coming. And finally, at the highest rung on the ladder of having darshan, he wishes to see the lotus feet entering the pathway of his eyes. He's there in the forest of the Vrindavan, and then he sees Krishna's feet coming before his eyes. You know how Krishna moves in the forest of Vrindavan? It's described. He's so joyful when he is in the forest of Vrindavan. I will now try to follow the footprints of Buri Jam Prabhu. I can't. I have to show you. Hopefully, my Krishna moves like this because he is so absolutely joyful. The forest of Vrindavan is similarly absolutely joyful, because it greets Lord Krishna with its trees and vines. trees are moving their hands, and it seems that they are offering a aratik to the Lord. So Rupa Goswami first wants to see these feet of Lord Krishna coming into the forest of Vrindavan, either it's called, I think in English, skipping, or with an elephant gait, that's also often described, this very majestic, slow, powerful. And then he wants to see Srimati Radharani, but it's very difficult to see Radharani's feet. You must be really on the ground, because the feet are covered with the sari. So maybe Rupa Goswami is lying on the ground in this darshan. Most probably he is out of reference. So this description of the divine darshan, of beholding the divine couple, is echoed in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's writings, particularly the Madhurya Kadambini, the cloud bank of nectar, where the divine darshan is also described in wonderful words. And I would like to read this passage from the divine revelation of Krishna. It will be very important for the next section, where I will talk a little philosophy so that it relates to you. First, the Lord allows his eager devotee to perceive his beauty with his eyes, his fragrance through his nostrils, his beautiful voice with his ears. The Lord allows his devotee the tender touch of his skin and the sweet taste of the tongue. Krishna thus enlivens all of his devotee's senses and additionally brings pleasure to his mind with two divine attributes, namely his magnanimity and his compassion. Krishna is giving freely to the devotees his beauty, his voice, his fragrance, the tender touch of his body and the sweet taste through all his senses. This is his magnanimity, which pleases the heart of the devotee. Oh, the devotee thinks, Krishna allows me to participate in this festival of his darshan. He's so magnanimous. He doesn't hold back. And then, finally, his heart becomes overwhelmed, the devotee's help, by his compassion. His compassion is called karunya, and is an expansion of his kripa shakti. It is described that the kripa shakti sits like an unsurpassable queen in the whirl of a lotus. And like a queen who is surrounded by maidservants, Krishna's kripa shakti is surrounded by the other energies of the Lord. It is this mercy or compassion which first manifests in Krishna's eyes and then is appearing in the devotee as a kind of protective perfection. So Krishna looks, in other words, on his devotee, and as he looks on the devotee, his eyes are filled with, you could say, compassion. Compassion is that quality which makes Krishna's heart melt And as he looks at the devotees with this glance of compassion, his glance also melts with feelings. Krishna's feelings are a little bit like this. Here's my devotee. He has finally achieved my darshan. He has so much endeavored to come close to me. He has spent long nights absent from me. My devotee has spent so much infamy me in this world. People have scolded him and said, "You are a devotee of that God? You have left your responsibilities in this world just to surrender to him?" That people have given so much trouble to my devotee. He has given up everything for many lifetimes just to come to me. Now he is before me. At that time the Lord's heart begins to melt with feelings of compassion. And these feelings of compassion come through his eyes into the heart of his dear devotee, and then that devotee also melts. It's a little bit described, Krishna looks with the same compassion which a father or mother, it's Vatsalya, looks on his children who may have done so much for him. Huh? For those who are in the Madhurya Bhava, this power of mercy, also known as anugraha, manifests in the heart, melting with attractiveness. See, anugraha is a certain type of mercy of Krishna which reaches out like a powerful hand and which just grabs the devotee. Come now to me. Enough of this endeavoring. Come and relish my divine darshan. It is described all other qualities of the Lord, you know, like his forgiveness or his being very beautiful or being very strong. All other qualities of the Lord are servants of this power of mercy, the ultimate quality of the Lord, which is known as Bhakta Vatsalya, Krishna's power, mercy to his Bhakta. This power of mercy is the crowned emperor over all of Krishna's other attributes, like those that are listed in the Bhagavatam. If you want to read about these qualities of Krishna, because you want to be know how is he, then you can read in Bhagavatam, first canto, 16th chapter, verses 26 to 30. But here, so that we don't get lost in the ocean of Krishna's qualities, I want to stress on this quality of being so near and dear and close to the devotee, the Bhakta Vatsalya, that he is the friend and protector of his devotees and is giving him pleasure with his darshan. So this was a little bit about the darshan which Rupa Goswami wishes to see. As we all know, Rupa Goswami is not like a modern bhakta. Modern bhaktas like to make public their achievements, or they lie about their achievements often. No, he says, "Let me see this darshan." He has not. He writes as if he has no experience in the world of darshan. But those who know his writings well know that he beholds divine pastimes of the Lord, and he has written about them. He's just taking this role. Now, it's very important for me to reiterate two points. We will very soon get to know how Rupa Goswami now wishes to enter this divine pastimes of the Lord. He has seen the darshan, but how and in which way he wants to now be directly connected with the divine couple. It's very, very interesting to see. See, in our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, we do not believe in experiencing rasa, or that is the overwhelming taste for which we, without seva. We believe that the seva rasa is the highest rasa, and it is this point which makes us maybe different also from other Vaishnav Sampradayas. It is this point which singles out Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Gaudiya subjects as something which will, which is, has always a special ring of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yes. It is in line with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is describing in the fifth chapter, fifth verse of the Shikshastakam, his desire to become a kinkara, a servant of Krishna, and approach Krishna in the mood of kainkaryam. That's that mood which a kinkara has. The kainkaryam mood is a concept of being a menial servant of the Lord. This is very rare, and therefore in a shastra called Itihasa Samuchaya, it is said, after 1,000 births, one who has the attitude of being the servant of Vasudev can uplift the whole world. You know, someone who really has this mood, I'm the servant, I'm the servant, he can uplift the whole world. I personally believe that Srila Prabhupada's tremendous success in only 10 years of preaching, little more than 10 years, huh? Is due to this tremendous seva bhava which is emanating from him. And he has said, anyone who has this, he can uplift the whole world. Why is this so rare to be a servant? Vrindavan Das Thakur says the title Das is the highest servant you can get. Highest position you can have. There were again a number of devotees who became dasas and dasis. It's not a cheap title you have now. It's a very, very first class title. See, true service is rendered from the position where you break your identification with your material life and the roles you have played in it. In other words, true service doesn't mean to just offer the result of the activities which you like to do to Krishna. True service means actually to wait before Krishna's door and find out what does Krishna like. This is the difference between real devotional service and bhakti which is mixed with karma, karma mishra bhakti. Karma mishra bhakti is, yeah, I like to do this, and then I do this, and I give some the result to Krishna. But true service is to understand what does Krishna want, and then King Karomi, then asked only one question to this: what should I do now? An example of this stage of Kim Karomi or Kinkara, what to do, what should I do, would be Sudama. Sudama, as we all know, went to Dwaraka on the prompting of his beloved wife, who just thought, well, we are so poor, And Sudama went to the in the same school as Krishna. They are old, old Priyatelyas, old schoolmates. So Krishna is so rich. He has 60,108 palaces, and we are so poor. This is a good address to ask for a donation. I think we can understand. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that, yes, Krishna, Sudama was quite poor. He was so mager, so skinny, that you could see his veins in his arm, coming out of his arm, not like me, who is so fat and well nourished with macrobiotic kitchen, that very well fed. No, he was so poor, you could see all the veins in his body. Oh, he is one. So Sudama went to Dwaraka with the mission of his wife. It was not his own mission. He didn't want to ask Krishna anything, but his wife had told him he should ask for some wealth. Now, when he was with Krishna, he was actually too shy to ask for the wealth. He just said, it just can't come over my lips. I can't ask him, give me. So now on his way home, he speaks a few verses. And these verses reveal what we mean with the mood of Kinkara, of being a servant, who is just without any motive, happy and pleasing Krishna, and who only wants to know what is Krishna's plan. Sudama was not disappointed that he didn't get anything from Krishna. He had not asked anything, and Krishna had not given anything apparently to him. He was, when he sat in the boat which brought him from Dwaraka to the mainland, he was the same poor Brahmana with the same veins coming out of his body because he was hungry. It's a vata problem. When you are hungry, you develop vata, and when you have vata, the veins are reacting. So he thought, my service to Krishna is all I care for. I don't want anything in return. And in this mood he prayed, Svaga pavaga yopung sang rasayang bhuvi sampadam savasam apisidinam mulam tacharanachanam. Devotional service to his lotus feet is the root cause of all the perfections a person can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions, and on earth. He has this face. I am a servant. The Lord will take care of me. I don't need the wealth of the heavenly planets. I don't need even spiritual wealth, like moksha from misery. I don't need anything. One might ask, well, here comes Sudama, who is so poor. Krishna sits in his palace. I mean, why didn't Krishna just, you know, reach in his pockets and then he said, here for you. Why not? He must have known. What is this? These are rupees. I mean, Krishna doesn't have rupees. He would have given jewels to Krishna. Here for you. Why? What did Sudama think about this? Sudama was thinking that the Lord might have not given him anything, because the Lord said, if this poor wretch, this poor Brahmana, Sudama, suddenly becomes rich, he will forget me in his intoxicating happiness. And that's why the compassionate Lord did not grant me even a little wealth. He thought like this. That is the ideal of the service mood. He doesn't want anything back. Finally, Sudama's love for Krishna in the service mood breaks out. He says, "The Lord is the supremely compassionate reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Life after life, may I have money, women, and something to eat." No? Good. Some of you are. "Life after life, may I have love, friendship, and sympathy, and service for Lord Krishna." You were attentive. I could not trick you. I'm very satisfied with you. "May I cultivate such firm attachment for him by the precious association of his devotees." This is Sudama's service mood, which is very, very necessary if you wish to behold the divine darshan of Radha and Krishna. And as we will enter a little bit more into the secrets of this prayer, you will hear how Rupa Goswami prays for service. I have taken one. I want to sing one song for you. We will soon make a little pause, but I wanted to sing a song for you or read a song for you. My desire in this is to show you a little bit about the secrets of Krishna Bhakti. See, when you enter this, the idea of being a kinkara means a servant, you will first do that in a general way. In this world, for instance, you will think, how can I find my identity in devotional service? It's very important for those of us who return, they should really ask themselves, where will I find my identity in what particular service I can do for Krishna? This is really the first step. Now, as you enter in a general way into the mood of a servant, you will then later become a little bit more specific in your servitude attitude. That is, you will think of a particular relationship in which you wish to serve Krishna. Rupa Goswami, for instance, will ask to help the divine couple in their pastimes in a very particular way, in the way a Manjari serves Radha and Krishna. A small little girl companion who has entrance into areas of the divine couple's Leela in which the Sakis, the elderly gopis, have no admission, so to say. So, first you render service without your rasa, without your original relationship to Krishna. But then as you become more purified by the service, especially by taking up some responsibility and even anxiety in this service, I need to do this for Krishna, then if your heart becomes a little bit pure like gold, which has been put into the flames and has been melted so much so that all the dirt left the gold, then you will one day your particular relationship will be revealed to you. So here is one general prayer of Yamunacharya for this more general Dasya Rasa, this more general thing. And this prayer happens to be translated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Gita Mala, the garland of songs. And here is his prayer. Would you like to hear this prayer?
Yes.
Good. Hari he Shuno he madhu matan mama eka vigyapana vishesha koriya boliya mi tomara sevatva mama svakiya vaiba votama amidasa tumi mora Swami. And the third line goes like this, third verse. Esaba joka nasha shatabara shinivasa tabuta kudasatva tomara E bhakti vinoda koya Krishna dasa jiva hoya Dasya bina kiva ke ara O Krishna, O killer of Madhu, please hear my words. I say that service to you is my greatest wealth. I am your servant and you are my master. O infallible Lord, I cannot for a single moment even bear anything that has no relation to this treasure of serving you. Therefore, I have now decided to renounce all attachments to this body, this life, material happiness, material desires, and material egoism. Wonderful, isn't it? In the flames of Dasya Ras, of the feelings of being a servant, he offers his body, his life, his material happiness, his material desires, and material egoism. And he feels, in this identity, I'm well taken care of all my needs. That's wonderful, isn't it? I think it sounds right to us in the Hare Krishna movement, isn't it? We feel also, if we could just be a servant, we would be released from the burdens of our worries and anxieties, because a servant is of a good master is maintained by the good master. There is no anxiety for him. It's the work of the master to maintain the servant. The servant does not have to care for his needs. Do you all feel like this? No? But the moment the servant wants to make his own private arrangement, build his villa on the Adriatic coast, then the master sees, or he makes his own arrangement, he can well take care of himself. The master at that time withholds some of his care, because the servant, let him care for himself. I mean, I don't want to push myself into the life of that servant. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in the voice of Yamunacharya, I cannot bear any longer anything that has no relation to this treasure of serving you. I don't want anything. I just want the service. And then he says, O resting place of the goddess of fortune, let these things run to destruction 100 times. My own arrangement may be destructed 100 times. I will always be your servant. Bhaktivinoda says, the individual soul is Lord Krishna's service. Without devotional service, What does he really possess? I'm asking each one of you, what do you really possess? Everything goes, even the body goes. You only have your service. That's your only wealth, your only treasure. That will go into your next life, either with Krishna or on the way to Krishna. That will be some wealth which will not be taken away from you by the separating hands of the sword of time. Nicely said, huh? By the separating hands of the sword of time. You are all young. May you be happy in your young days. I am an old man and I can tell you everything goes when you come like 50, 54, 55, really bang, 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 bang. Your health, your this, your good name, your everything goes. It's not... the only thing you have is to look back is your service which you have rendered to Krishna. These are very, very nice prayers, and our secretary is at the moment, the representative of the secretary, it's Seite, page 563. Those of you who have written down their request to get all the songs and prayers will get this servant song, the song of a happy servant, it's called. Hare Krishna. So this is how you enter the darshan of the divine couple, with this service attitude, which is embalmed or made tasteful for Radha and Krishna by a specific quality, that is anxiety or eagerness. This is also how these prayers can be understood. I will now make a little pause for you. I'm very, very satisfied by the way it goes. Before you go into your pause, there are two informations. We will start the next session with a few questions which you might like to pose. Please think about the questions which you have in your mind. And I will also tell you a story you will never forget. It is the story of Icarus and Daedalus, which is very necessary because it is a psychological story which we must understand in order to understand how our mind can become our friend, and we can enter into the next higher session. This is a surprise. So please come on time.